How's everyone doing today? Okay, all ready for Easter? You have your hams in the oven cooking, right? Some of you do. That's an awesome occasion. I'd like to look for a few moments at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. And this is a famous resurrection text of Scripture that maybe you haven't thought about, but it is. And so welcome again, and I trust that you are experiencing some resurrection life this morning. The title of my message this morning is, It's Easy. It's easy. It really is. It's easy. It's easy. That's the title. It's easy. And this is what I mean. It's the easiest thing in the world, says Peterson, to be a Christian. It's easy. It's the easiest thing in the world to be a Christian. He says, what is hard is to be a sinner. Being a Christian is what we were created for. Being a Christian is not only what we were created for, but what we were redeemed for. What the Holy Spirit indwells us for. Being a Christian is what we are celebrating today, what today is for, and the resurrection of Jesus is for. And so, because of those things, it's easy to be a Christian. It's going against the grain. It's trying to swim up current. Some of you have been to Niagara Falls, and you have seen the mighty Niagara River go over the falls, and I have been there many times and also have driven along the boulevard and seeing the rush of the river as it makes its way to the falls. And have often thought, man, I'd hate to be caught in that current. And that's not what a Christian is. A Christian isn't where I'm caught in the current and I gotta make my way upstream. No, you're going with the current. It's what we were created for. The only thing is you don't end up over the falls in disaster because of the resurrection of Jesus. And so I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. Just how easy it is, why it is, I should say. Not how, but why it is easy to be a Christian. Look at Colossians chapter 3. And have you ever thought about it? Maybe you've thought about it. You know, it's just too hard. I remember one of the complaints of my oldest daughter, Christina, and some of her ups and downs in following Jesus, and one of the complaints that she made was, it's just too hard. Just too hard, you know, to be a Christian. And maybe you've thought about it in those terms, and you haven't thought about it in terms of it's the easiest thing in the world because that's what you are made for. In Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your minds also on things above, not on earthly things. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall return, we also shall appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways. This is where before you knew the resurrection life of Jesus in your life, that's where you used to live. In all of those things. He says, but now, And that "but now" is like this in the original language. "But now!" It really does scream. The language screams at you, the words that he uses in this "but now." But now! That's the way you used to be, but now you must rid yourselves, do away with all of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Since you have been raised with Christ, don't act like that. He says that new self, he says, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Inasmuch as God in the beginning created us in his image, he says you are now being recreated in that image once again in Christ, since you've been risen with Christ. And then he says here, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, sexually enslaved or free, but Christ is all and in all. What he is saying is there are now no race distinctions that lead to hostilities. There are no race distinctions that lead to division. That's what he said. In Christ. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. See, this is the new self. This is the way we act now. And yes, he's talking to me. He's talking to us, God's chosen people. I'm looking at him this morning. Holy. But it's true. Holy. Dearly loved. He says, clothe yourselves. You're a new person now. Put on some new clothes. What are the new clothes? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Wow. He says, bear with each other. No, put up with each other. Put up with each other. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Wow. I mean, that's big. He says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I mean, that's just way over the top. Come on, is it not way over the top? So when he explains it to us, you understand? You know, put up with one another, forgive one another, and then he adds the zinger, just as Jesus did with you. Wow, I mean, that's major stuff. He goes on to say, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. I think that goes back to the no race distinctions. Peace and unity. What is it that Abraham Lincoln discovered when he went through with the 13th Amendment, right, to the Constitution? What was it that he discovered? Euclid's Law, right? Two things that are the same must at the same time be what? Equal, right? Don't you remember seeing the movie, Lincoln? No. But two things that are the same must be what? They also must be equal. That's what helped him to fight against the division of slavery. No, we are equal. We are equal. We are all made in God's image. Therefore, there is what? Peace, but only can it be really discovered in Christ. Perfect unity. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Then he says, verse 16, he says, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you how? Don't be beggarly when it comes to how this word is in your life. Don't be paupers. Have your bank account full be multi-billionaires when it comes to this word being in your life. And I think it's all connected here, what we're reading. He says, and then use that to how you get along with each other, teaching, admonishing, singing psalms, spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him, through Jesus. And so, Lord, as we're here and as we concentrate our thoughts in these few moments together on how it is easy to live this life that you've called us to in Christ, that your Spirit would talk to us. In Jesus' name I pray. And feed us this morning. Amen. And so the resurrection of Jesus puts a demand upon my life. It puts a demand upon my life. And the good news is it's a demand that I can now deliver. So as I read through this passage of scriptures I just read to you, And I see these things of how it is that now as a Christian I am supposed to live. This is how I ought to live as a Christian, okay? And living like a Christian isn't an unreachable ideal. As we read that, you know, chosen people, holy, dearly beloved, it's like, well, you know, not me. And that's not true. It is not an unreachable ideal. It's not an ideal that seldom matches the reality because of the resurrection of Jesus. I can deliver. I can live like this. I can meet the demand through my faith that connects me to the power of the resurrection of Jesus. And so, you know, you take, let's take this. Since we're talking Euclid, we'll talk a little physical science, I guess. Would that be right? And so you take an inclined plane, right? An inclined plane. And then you take this object and you put it on an inclined plane. And what happens to the object on an inclined plane? There are two things that happens to it. What's happening? It's going down. And as it's going down, it's what? Accelerating as it goes down. Okay? And so now the question is this. What does this object need as it's going down and accelerating as it's going down? What does it need to stop it from accelerating and going down? What does it need? No. What does it need? It needs a power outside of itself to propel it in the opposite direction, also known as the resurrection power of Jesus, because this is you. In this inclined plane is your life. And you're on it, and you're going down. And not only are you going, doesn't it feel like that? Not only are you going down, but you're accelerating as you're going down. This is what it's like without Christ. This is where it's what it's like without Christ. You say, what do you need? You need the resurrection power of Jesus to be that force outside of yourself to push you, to put you in the opposite direction. Since then, since you've been raised with Christ, live like this. Since you've been raised with Christ, you can live like this. See? Yeah, not an unreachable ideal. And this is what he tells us in chapter 2 and verse 12. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he took me with him there. Since Christ rose from the dead, did you catch the language as he says here? I thought we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus this morning. We are talking about the resurrection of Jesus. That isn't what it says in this text. He says, since you then have been raised. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, he took me with him. He took me with him. And so, taking me with him, what that means is that I have been brought to life out of the death grip of sin, even as he says here. Remember what the serpent said to Eve? Or what God said to Adam and Eve in giving them the command not to eat of the tree. He says, in the day that you eat of it, what shall happen to you? You shall surely die. And when they ate of it, what happened? What happened to them? They then knew that something drastically had happened. They didn't immediately on the spot drop dead. It took several years for their life to dissipate and eventually physically die. Death did happen. But a consequential catastrophe happened inside of them that when God shows up, they run and hide. For now they feel as though they have been estranged from God. Instead of being on intimate terms with Him, they now felt as though as they really were strangers, because that's what sin does, makes us strangers with God. The good news of the resurrection of Jesus, though, is on that day it was said that you eat of it, you will surely die. On that day, Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. On that day, when Jesus rose from the dead, He said, I am giving you life to come out of that death, that captivity of sin. You shall live. God made me alive in Christ. That's what it says. With Christ is my new identity. Even as it says here, He calls it the new self. I have a new identity in Christ. I am not the old Bob, I'm the new Bob. And everyone who comes to Christ is given that gift of a new identity. You become a new person. You're not what you're used to be. You've become a new person, a new identity. God has given to me, He has recreated, He is in the business of recreating the image of God in my life, that image of God that I was created with. That's my new identity. And so, this is how the resurrection me, the new life, lives. Colossians chapter 3. As I read through these paragraphs, it's hard to catch in the English, in our translation, but as you read through here, there are a series of imperatives. You all know what an imperative is, right? And so it's the language of command, right? Imperatives. And so as you read through this text, He says, since then you have been raised with Christ, this is what you must do now. This is what you must do now. And He lists here several things, beginning with the first one, set your hearts on things above. That's in the imperative language. He is giving to us a command. This is how you ought to live right now. Set your heart on things above. And He goes on, set your mind on things above. He continues, put to death these things in your life. Put to death these things. He goes on. He says, rid yourself of these things. Don't lie to one another. That's interesting, isn't it, that He would put that in there. But not really. Rid yourself of all these things, anger and so on. Then don't lie to one another. He continues. The language is clear. It's in the imperative mood. Bear with each other. That's in the imperative. Put up with one another. Forgive with other grievances. Forgive as the Lord given you. He's saying, listen, this isn't an option. These aren't choices you have. Do these things. And you can do them because there's resurrection life and you have a new identity now. A new identity that matches this kind of behavior. And He continues, let the peace of Christ, let the word of God. And so, you know, I just want to pull out a couple to emphasize from this long list. Here's the first one from verse 1. He says, set your heart on things above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Since you have a new identity and resurrection life is in you, I look at it this way. When He says, set your heart on these things, He's saying, let this be the aim of your life. In other words, have a goal orientation that brings God into everything. Have a goal orientation that brings God into everything. So my goal is in my life, in everything that's about me, everything, all of my decisions, all of my relationships, my kids, my work, my house, my lawn, my car, my money. What am I missing? Oh, yeah, my wife. everything. I'm going to have all of those things. I'm going to bring God into all of those things. See, I'm going to bring God into it. The second one is this. Have a mindset that thinks like the new you and not like the old you. Have a mindset that thinks like the new you, that is how God made you in Christ, and not the old you, that is to say, how sin made you to think. You see, sin made us to think whereby we would lie to one another, where sexual immorality is, that's just the way it is. Yeah. The lines have become, there are no lines when it comes to sexual immorality and impurity, right? There isn't. And it isn't that, listen, this is not to say we don't have compassion, but heaven forbid, let's put the line back in. There is a difference between men and women. And it's included in these kinds of things that we're thinking about. I have the new self that's put on. And the language that I use, all of those things. But he says, think. You know, we want to think according to these kinds of things where he says of compassion and kindness, gentleness, to forgive one another instead of holding a grudge. You know, I mean, someone does us, my first thought is I'm going to do them also. And not only am I going to do them, but I'm going to do them harder than they did me. I'll teach them. Right? I mean, that's the thoughts of the old me. The old me is not there anymore. I have a new me now. When they do me, I'm going to show them compassion in return. Because that's how I was made in Christ. Wow. And then the last one is, have a Word of Christ bank account that you can draw from. You know, verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And it's like, I have a new identity. I got to feed that new identity. You know? I got to feed it. Who am I now in Christ? How am I supposed to live now with this new identity? What am I supposed to put on? You can never know. You'll never find out unless you make a deposit every day into the bank account of God's Word in your life. Period. Period. Amen. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a resurrection that I take part in, and this is what he's called me to. And the thing that thrills me is that I have been given this resurrection life of Jesus in my life, even as Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. Amen. Let's stand together and pray. Thanks be to God. So, Father, as we're here in your presence and as we have considered it, Lord, in our singing, in our words together today, in the things that we feel by your Holy Spirit in our lives, that these things will not go in one ear and out the other, but they'll become lodged in our heart. And that you would do something significant there, that we would feel the power of your resurrection life in our lives when we wake up tomorrow morning. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go in peace.